This meeting
Welcome
is being
to the
recorded.
last. Well, what happened there? Okay. Welcome to the last episode of Backpass X Ballistic Khalsa for this season. And I've got with me Kel. How are you doing, Kel?
Doing well, doing well. You know, we're here. Wow, time has passed, you know, really, really quickly for us, you know, doing ballistic games. I remember we, you know, doing the preseason, then the season, and then we were walking them through. And then now, after the roller coaster of a season, too many seasons in my sentence, but you get what I'm trying to say. We are done for the first season. Backpass X Ballistic Khalsa. What a great experience!
Yeah, we've been away for some time. I think we've allowed the team time to focus on the games, coming up games, and supported them as much as we can in the stadium and on TV as well. So yeah, you know, it's been a good season. Not say good season in terms of results, but it's been good in terms of experience for us. A roller coaster is, like you said, well said. And that's it. So today we're going to do a season review. But before that, I think some good news for Ballistic Khalsa, the under 17 team.
Yes.
Finished third in the league. I think big congratulations to the under 17 boys and Leonard, the coach. So well done, under 17 Ballistic Khalsa team and Leonard. You've done well.
And, shout out to Leonard.
Big shout out to Leonard. And now, let's get to the senior team. So I think we've got with us...
The main man.
Let me bring him on the show first before we want to speak about him because, you know, this is Zoom.
Let's get reaction when we speak about him.
Yeah.
All right. He is almost in.
There and we've go. Got with us... The head coach, Mr. Peter DeRue. How are you doing, Peter?
All good. Thank you.
Yes, fantastic. This time, no connection issues, although there were some on our part, on my part and personally. So, yeah, it has to be done, right? When we meet and there's connection issues or some technical issues, it's become a thing.
Well, I struggled last time, but... I got speed test thing before, so I'm well prepared, don't worry.
this time round,
I didn't do that.
Wi-Fi mesh up, I think.
Yeah, he got the Wi-Fi sorted, but my mic, I mean, didn't correspond with the previous program, not sure why. And as you can see now on Zoom, it's all good. So, right, let's get the show on the road, Peter. First of all, I'm going to speak to you about the cup. The journey in this Singapore Cup. I want to know your honest reaction when you got to know of the teams that you face in the Singapore Cup group stage, having faced them already in the league.
Yeah. I think when the draw was done, we already faced most of the teams with the exception of Tampines Rovers. So yeah, you have a little bit an idea what you can expect and you know which opponents might be different to us to play against than others, but I'll be honest, when I saw the draw and I saw Albirex, Lion City Sailors and Young Lions, I never thought of okay, that's number one and two that won the league by a country mile above the rest. I just thought okay, that's a great challenge for us to test us whether we have improved during the back end of the season. So yeah, I was definitely not thinking oh we don't have a chance or stuff like that. So I was just excited. Yeah.
Okay, so you relished it then.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, but it's also a little bit how I am as a coach, but also as a person. These are all things that are not in our control or in my control. You have to deal with what's being put in front of you, and then you see those two teams, and you think, okay, that's great. We played them. Actually already won from Lions in the competition and deserved. So I was just thinking, okay, we have a certain way that we want to play. Can we do that? Can we test ourselves in that way against the top team? So I only saw it as positive. So,
All right. So getting to that point on the way you want to play. So we saw on social media these pictures coming out about you meeting the players on the Deepavali public the holiday.
Weekend, yeah.
Yeah, long weekend as well. You meeting the players. I want to know what's the thought behind that meeting with the players and what's the strategy that you're trying to implement?
Nah, I just wanted to have a personal chat with every player, not only on my expectations or evaluation during the first 2.5 months, but also what they think they need to improve on. And I thought the end of the season and the cup was a good moment to actually get to know the players a bit better also personally. Plus, it's a good way, you know, sometimes to find out how players think, because not every player is comfortable to speak in a group, but much more comfortable to speak one-on-one. And, you know, when you're a coach, you always want to be there for players in terms of a one-on-one, but the reality is as well, that most of the time it's you worry about the team rather than the individual. But in the end, you need 16 individuals to be comfortable. And I'm not saying in their comfort zone, but they need to be comfortable to say what they think and even challenge me, to be honest. They need to be in the right mindset as well if you want to perform and if you want to achieve things and if you want to get results. And I thought that moment between competition and cup was ideal, because season was over, but the cup is also in this format, which I haven't seen in many other countries. It basically gives you 3 weeks to win back a lot of credibility and to basically give a little bit color to a season that has been poor or average.
Okay, so was there any talk on tactics on that day, or just purely whatever you mentioned earlier?
No, I did touch on it briefly, because the players, I think, by then were very well aware of how I wanted to play. But at the same time, I still thought that we struggled with the part that I thought was the easiest to implement, and that was defending higher. Mm-hmm. And I still thought that we didn't protect the press well enough, but I also didn't want to play with a low block and give the initiative to opponents. I obviously spoke to all individuals also as well. Okay, I think this is where your role could be done. You should be more aware of protecting the press, that they can't switch to your weak side. You know, stuff like that. To go a little bit more individual, I had the board with every player there as well. So, yeah, it was a bit tactical, but we didn't make much changes. We only made one small adjustment that had to do with playing out, but I won't go too much into detail. But that was all. But, yeah, I thought it was a good moment. And and I asked the club to do that, to make arrangements for that. And at the same time, you know, maybe we can have a night out with each other and have a meal, which I think you were well aware of.
Yep. We were invited. Yes. Thanks a lot.
Do you think, Peter, sorry, just one question. Do you think the players found it really helpful, you know, having this kind of sessions? Because I don't think this is quite norm to them, but, you know, to have these kind of sessions, having a one-to-one with you, really speaking about what's going to happen, what to expect, what they can improve on. Do you think they found it helpful?
Well, I think that is probably a case-to-case thing. Some players do, some maybe not, I don't know, but it's at least an opportunity for players to be open and to speak about what's on their mind. And because it was also questions like, you know, where do you want to improve on, and how can I help you with that? So, you know, stuff like that. And but most important thing is, if you want to improve players, you need to first acknowledge both where the problems are. Or where points for improvement are. And I have a vision on that as a coach, and if players agree with that, then you know that's a good starting point to train with more purpose individually.
Right.
Okay. I just want to know, on that day itself, do you manage to meet all the players, or only some players manage to turn up?
Well, we did it over 3 days, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So, how about that? The Japanese players, how did you get your message across to them because of the language?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know.
Curious on that too. Yeah,
that is a good one, because they are an integral part of our team. Yeah. They're also extremely important with it's where the press starts, and you don't want your team to fall into two parts, one that start higher and start pressing earlier, and your back line starts dropping, because then you become very vulnerable. It actually happened during one game. So, and they all play a certain role in that. And it starts off obviously with Jumbo. So, and I thought that wasn't good enough, to be honest. So I decided to take the three all together.
Okay.
And tell them what my expectations from them was during the next 3 weeks. And it was a good conversation, and obviously Jumbo was the translator.
Jumbo's English actually improving compared to, like, you know, when the first we met him. But I'm very glad that at least he took on that responsibility, you know.
Not only he still only hears what he wants to hear, though.
I understand, but like for me, there was like, I saw the pictures with you and the Japanese players, and I'm like, how is Peter actually getting his message across, you know?
Yeah.
You know, are you doing Google Translate or so, you know, like
actually that was Google Translate was there as well, because I think Kondo asked the question and then went to Jumbo, and then Jumbo went on to the phone. But the good thing with these kind of conversations, when they are tactical and you have a tactical board with you, then you see that football becomes your universal language. You move the magnets around, and then Kondo moves them around, and you talk about football without really using words, you know.
100%.
Okay. All right. So I just want to know from you, what do you think the team did well to qualify out of the group against all odds?
I thought we played with a good attitude. I think we played without fear. We were... See, when you look at the first game was Albirex, where...
Lion City Sailors first.
Oh, sorry. The three-all. The good thing that game was that compared to the first one was three things. One, that we came back from a goal. But we tend to sometimes
rumble.
Suffer from a setback or a drop in performance after we concede.
Right.
I think there is a bit of a history throughout the season with that. And then if you play well and you concede, it is a massive dent in your confidence. And in this game, I thought we came back strong after every goal against. Then I hear actually the coach after the game, their coach, saying something like, asked about our performance. He says something about, all the players had cramp. But I don't know what he wanted to say with that. But to be honest, it was almost like he was saying that we were time-wasting. But to be honest, I wished that game to be 10 minutes longer, because it wouldn't have been a draw. It would be a win for us, for sure.
Yeah, I heard.
They were absolutely done, And then you look at the shots on goal. I think total shots were 23 against a lot less for them. The clear-cut chances were more for us. But yes, you can see it's a good team. They had more passes than we, but we had much more forward passes than them. So we definitely played with purpose in our attacks. And I was pretty pleased with that because that's not easy against a top team that has quality to dominate games.
Yep.
Then the second game against Albirex, I thought was definitely in the first half, a very defending-wise, a very good performance. I think we conceded against the top team. We conceded the first shot on goal after 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. And also in the second half, we played some really good football. And and then you get Lion City Sailors, Young Lions, on home soil. I think we started off again very well. Then we get our goals, and I think we get a little sloppy and concede two goals, which I was not happy about. But when you look then over all those three games, that was more than deserved to make it to the semi-finals, and they did it on their own merit. Definitely no luck involved because we didn't have any luck at all, to be honest. Well, that's not completely true because in the end, it's not completely in your own end. So we did have a bit of luck, but I expected Albrecht to do well in that game as well. And for me, Line City Sailors was playing against themselves, not against an opponent anymore.
Right. Yep. True. Correct. I agree. I mean, saw the performances. Think very good performances. The first one especially was a standout because throughout the season we've not beaten LCS at their home ground.
Right.
And I wasn't watching the match because I was at work. So Kel was updating me as he told me, you know, it could have been a win, and it turned out to be a draw, which is a very good result in its way. And again, the Albirex game, we were there. We watched. Could have been a draw, could have been a win as well. But, you know, we did well, you know, because there were times, I mean, this season, like me and Kel would leave the stadium and we feel completely deflated by watching what we've watched. And that games, those games, I think really, you know, uplifted us. We really, even if we lost against Albirex, we left and we felt, you know what, we did well, we gave our best.
Not only us, I think the other supporters as well, they left the stadium and we were speaking to other supporters out in the car park. And they were also, you know, full of belief, you know, with Ballester and how they played. So, yeah, kudos to them.
That is actually good to hear because for me, I always judge the team on performance rather than a result. And the results were not really going our way. But when you look at the performances of this squad and then compare that with 2.5 months before, I was very pleased. And of course, as there's always room for improvement, but the performances in the group stage were all good.
Yep. So,
carry
on.
Yeah, also one thing you said, Peter, which was really, really a standout, I think we all could see that. The players played without fear. Like what can you tell me about that, Peter? Like, so during the season, you know, normally the trend has been, this is the trend, might be true, might not be true, but you know, we normally miss a glorious chance, you know, in front of their goal, and then we concede, and then we concede again very, very quickly. So this has been the trend of our season, but you know, against Lion City, even when the goal went in, the heads didn't drop, played without fear, took the game to them. I think Kondo had like a wonderful, I think like Lion City didn't know what was happening when Kondo turned up. I think Daniel Goh as well. So what was it like, you know, what was being said in the room, in the dressing room to get these players to play without fear, shackles were off? What is it, Peter?
In that particular game, I actually don't know what I said before or in halftime, but in general, I say that if we want to become better as a team and as individuals, obviously the first thing is you need to believe in what you do. And it's very hard to convince people to believe what we do if it's not being backed up by results or at least performances. So because they're going to doubt your information, so you have to be a little bit lucky as well. And the other thing I usually say is, you know, we might have a chance for a result if we drop deep and take the easy way out. We park the bus, and whenever we have it, we kick it to the big guy and see if we can pick up the scraps. But most of the teams in the league, in the top, they will be able to find that gap in 90 minutes. And then you lose 1 or 2 nil without having played and actually make them look better than they are. So I think any team in this league, we got to be confident enough to take the game to them. That doesn't always mean that you can dominate possession against the top teams, or of course not. But so you need to have belief from the players that you can only get that if you get results and improvement. Otherwise, they're going to doubt your information. And the third thing is, players need to go out to be prepared to fail. If you're not prepared to make mistakes, if you're not prepared to fail, you're never going to get better. And making mistakes is not a problem. It's actually making new mistakes, but mistakes is a problem. But making new mistakes, it means you take initiative, and whether that could have been done differently or it should have been a different decision, we'll talk about that later. But at least have the balls to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And I can't fault them there. Although in the second round, that was absolutely a disaster against Stampede, and I think they absolutely froze.
Speaking on that, I'm going to speak about that next. Very good achievement to finish fourth, largely due to the performances. Could have finished third, but it's not meant to be. But again, like you said, performances.
What a game that was, by the way. Against was fantastic. Oh my God. Yeah.
very close, very, very close. And I mean, you could imagine the roof being lifted if he had scored the third goal.
Right.
Or even the fourth, because we had some really, really good chances. Yeah, some really, really good chances, missed that. But then
to touch on what you said earlier about the trend in the season, conceding and then losing. And what I thought was very good in that match is that we are 2-0 down. Mm-hmm. Then we create two very good chances. I think one-on-one from Jumbo. Yeah. And then we concede against the run of play on the other side. And then it's 3-0. The easiest thing, even at that point, I might have even understood it, is to throw your head in the ring and say, okay, here we go. Yeah. But that, for me, was probably the biggest sign of how the growth that the team has made. Because we absolutely gave it to them after that still. Yeah. And in the end, it was another game. If it's 5 minutes longer, or we just make our chances, I think. Yeah. Did we not have a penalty in the game too?
No.
Oh, I'm a little bit confused because I
that was the game before.
I went back through the penalties, and I don't think we have made any penalties since I'm a coach here.
Yeah, true. That's also another point. Yeah. So the semi-final again. I felt there was a bit of an anomaly, because in the performances we've seen from the start of the cup has been really good. The results have shown that as well. And then that performance in the semi-final, it's typical of what we have seen in the season where, you know, we concede one and then we crumble and we concede a few more. And that was probably one of the worst days we had as fans as well of the club. You know, coming out there, losing 8-1 in a semi-final was a bad day in the office, a horrible day in the office. So what you felt went wrong there, Peter?
Well, for me, it was actually more than just one day. I felt very uncomfortable till actually we faced them again. Because I had the feeling, okay, these boys can now put something straight in terms of credibility. Because that 8-1, that is not who we are. That's not how who we were at that point.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, in the first 25 minutes, I think we conceded in the 25th, and I think within 1 minute.
1 minute, yeah.
And then, yeah, the team totally collapsed. I saw a few players getting red in the face. They started hiding. The team fell apart. And that was something that I definitely didn't see coming. No.
Would you put it down to individual errors or lack of concentration, focus, mentality? What's it?
I think this is also a failure from everybody as a team, not only in the individuals. It's still 2-0 and it's before half time. And I saw some players starting to play their own game. I saw some players start hiding. Not holding the ball anymore, and there were a few of those things going on at the same time, and add them all up, and it led to this disaster. Which caused a lot of people maybe one bad night or two, but I was pretty sick of that. Yeah,
I think even Tampines were quite shocked at the space given to them, and you know how easy for them. To just, you know, go through our defense and stuff like that. Was pretty shocking because if you look at Lion City's game, Albrecht's game, and the Young Lions game, we were playing like we were on top form, ready to go straight to the final.
But also when you look at a team that is similar in terms of quality, like Albrecht, because I really rate Tampines, right. Don't get me wrong, I think they are probably the best playing team. In my opinion, with probably one of the most talented coaches in the country, or not the most, by far, actually, I think. Very talented coach, some very good players, very composed on the ball. But you can compare them a little bit to Albirex. And when you see how disciplined we defended in those games, it was... And they attacked similarly with the wide players up front, narrow, tried to get players on the ball in the final third centrally. It's quite similar how they set up, and we dealt with that well against Albirex and completely failed at it against Tampines in the first leg, and then in the second leg we actually do well, and again we lose that game, but that could have been completely different too,
and probably that's
a penalty. Yeah,
Peter, could it be nerves in your opinion? It could be nerves or something. Maybe not many of these players actually played in major semifinals or something like that. So
that is true. And in moments of stress, you usually go back to what you know.
Right,
because that's safe, and we're trying to do actually the opposite. So I don't know. It's a combination of things, but also regardless of nerves, it was also that at some point some players started to do things differently, and the backline started dropping, and we gave so much space, and it was basically suicide. And we were divided like in two halves in terms of a team.
Four
or five were pressing, and our especially our central defenders, they were 20, 25 meters after half, behind the halfway line. You can't give a team like Tampines that amount of space. That is suicide.
Also, kudos to you, because after that defeat, to come back then in the third and fourth in the way they did, I think kudos to you who have worked on them psychologically. Do you work on them psychologically after that defeat? You know, try and do something different to cheer them up also?
Well, there's a lot of things that you think of when you observe a group. What do they need now? Do they need me? Do they need their coach to be either... pick them up or be tough or be direct or let them go a bit, stuff like that. So you observe a group and think, what do they need at this time? I remember that I chose then to actually be very relaxed and probably till a couple of hours before the game. But in the sessions before, it was more about, in the end, it's just another game, you know.
Yeah. Gail.
Yeah, Peter, just You know, speaking about that, you know, it's so like it's been quite amazing watching these players, you know, getting to know the players as well. And now we know, you know what kind of people they are. They're really, really great guys, bunch of lads. Would you say, Peter, in your opinion, so you are the head coach, there's definitely a fitness coach working on the fitness. How important is it, Peter? Do you think teams should actually adopt a mental coach? Someone to actually come in to help with the psychology of things, the psychology of the game, you know, maybe to psych the players up before game or speak to them after a heavy defeat. Because clearly the manager or the head coach cannot do everything at one go, right? So how do you think that the game could be evolving in
well,
that
aspect? Obviously, it's very important. If you want to reach your potential as a player, and if you want to excel, you need to be physically good, you need to be technically good, you need to be tactically good, and you need to be mentally good.
Right.
So, and these things can all be trained.
Yes.
They can even be trained in just one training.
Okay.
That's why I think the mental part, as a coach these days, you need to be a mental coach too. But some coaches might have that not by nature or don't know maybe how. And that's where you maybe need to talk to specialists. But to bring them in and talk to players, that's a choice that a coach needs to make. But I know coaches who do that. I
right.
even know coaches that have a personal mental coach.
Mm. Right. So I think, yeah, because with the new era, you know, the younger players and stuff, you know, they maybe they need some kind of a different element to the coaching style compared to the yesteryears.
No, yeah, that is true. But I do think that mentally prepared players is also a job for the head coach. And if that's not really your expertise, then you need to get help from an expert in that.
Right. Thank you for that. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. So moving on from the cup. So let's end the cup with congratulations to you, Peter. I think at a short period of time, you managed to...
been very impressive. Yeah.
Been very impressive, you know, compared to the start of the season. We really saw the team actually turned up for a tournament, you know, which is really great. They didn't hide nothing like they mentioned. So really...
So the credit should go for a very large part to the players, of course, because they have to
and
do
the players.
Once you're on the sideline and you sit and they are in the field, then there's only so much you can do. So I think a lot of credits for to the players and obviously the people around me in the staff, but also you know, the president, and I definitely want to single out Darwin. He worked his socks off in the last couple of weeks to make sure that you know, everything around the team is arranged and stuff like that.
Right. Congratulations to the whole Ballester team then.
Belsi Khalsa, FC.
FC.
But now I'm getting a little bit worried. You're going to congratulate me with a fourth place. I mean, where's your ambition?
Yeah, I'm being nice, Peter.
I would say, speaking to opposition fans as well, they've also been impressed by you,
yes.
Peter.
Yes,
so
yes.
I got to convey that message on to you.
Thank you. It's always nice to hear. Yeah.
So this could be a beginning of something, but we'll get to that. But so that's the cup. I know you spent probably a couple of games towards the end of the season. Was it 2 months or 3 months that you spent?
Yeah, 2 months, I think.
2 months plus minus. So what is your take on the league campaign since you took over for Ballester Khalsa?
For us as a club?
Yes, for you, for Ballester Khalsa as a club, when you came in, and then when you ended, what was your take on it?
Well, I looked at it pretty in a pretty simple way. Obviously, I heard about the cup in December. When you start, you look at the ranking, and you see that there is not much that that you can do. At that stage, there were only six games to go for me, or for us. So the way I approached it was just make sure that we are ready mentally, physically, and in terms of how we play when that cup starts. And everything that we do now in terms of the games is not necessarily for that result that day. For me, it was a process. And towards the end of the competition, with the exception of Tanjung Pahar, it was Naugang. That was again a game where I was very, very disappointed. But towards the end, I did have the feeling, okay, I think we're nearly there. And that's the way I approached the league. And also when you look at the stats in games compared to the first game against Albirex, that was my first game when I started, where we lost 5-3 and were 3-1.
Oh, yes,
minutes. And people were positive, but I knew how I wanted to play. That was not even close to where I wanted to be. And towards the end of the season, I compared a lot of statistics in time, in terms of playing out, in terms of passing accuracy, in terms of amount of passes, in terms of amount of chances created. And there I saw that more or less confirmed what I thought, and that is we are starting to play better and better. The biggest thing that has always been an issue and still is we still concede too many goals from set pieces and just crosses. Mm-hmm. That I blame myself for that. That we still have not really fixed that. And you
strange
need
you say that because so I think hard. Yeah, I know. Strange you say that, Peter, because I think if you look at our centre backs, and they are, you know, like big guys. Yeah, they are not like really, you know, vertically challenged or something like that. But you know, they are pretty tall. They should be commanding in the air, but. When you say set pieces, I think Albirex goal, two of them were from corners as well.
Against Albirex, I think the first one is being brought back in from the right-hand side. And Madu is just 1.5 meter too far away from Ilhan. And the second one is a cross that we should be easily deal with. It's not even a chance. It's not even a 50-50. And and I agree with you. We have length and we can deal with a lot of long balls played from the back. But defending crosses is a little bit different. I mean, you need to be more side on. You need to be knowing what's happening behind you. You need to see ball and opponent. And I think there's still a lot of room for improvement because we shouldn't be conceding so many goals. And you need to work so hard to rectify that. We need to create clear-cut chances. We need to work very hard for that. Just because we gave away 2 or 3 goals on a cross, that's not even a 50-50. And I agree, we have length, but defending a cross is much more than just length.
In fact, if you look at it, it could be used to our advantage as well. The other side of the pitch, whereby, you know, if we can, we concede, but if we can make use of the set pieces we got, you know, with our advantage, we could have done so much better on the other side of the pitch as well.
Yeah, well, it's definitely something that that where there is a lot of room for improvement, because I think that's where I think we have forgotten in some games to reward ourselves
right
by playing well, but then yeah, again concede 2 or 3 goals, which is absolutely not necessary.
Right. So yes, just going since we are in this topic. So what do you think was missing for Balestier Khalsa in the league? In general, so the whole time you were there, what do you think was missing in this team? Because this team clearly bunch of talented guys, good ball playing players, they had everything in, but just something was missing.
Yeah, that's hard for me to judge coming halfway or actually towards the end. What I know when I started, that I think there was not a good balance in the squad. I don't know if you remember that we had to play at some point Iggy as a central defender.
Yeah,
played pretty,
remember
he
that.
played pretty
Yeah.
well, though.
Yeah, he played pretty well.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it was more, it was, people say, when they watch that, they say that it's out of necessity. It wasn't only out of necessity, because okay. I saw Iggy in training being one of the best players on the ball.
Right, right, he is.
And I want us to play out from the back. So I knew he would be able to do that. So for me, it was not even that weird. For other people, it was. But yeah, I think the balance in the squad was a bit of an issue. You know, no left-footed players, no real left fullbacks, not an out-and-out number six in the squad. There were a few positions that I think, in terms of recruitment, we're lacking, and made it hard, definitely for me, to play the way we want to play.
Right, right. Now, when you say it makes a lot of sense, when you say there was no balance, because sometimes we look at it and it's like a, it's just topsy-turvy, right? They're just like the football is going at one end to the other end, the other end. So when you said, okay, brings me to my next question, Peter. What has impressed you the most for Belisek Halsa?
What has impressed me the most?
Or who?
Who impressed you, or what? You know?
No, I don't. I don't want to single out players, because I think this was a team effort, and you know, everybody has his role to play. But I was definitely surprised, pleasantly surprised, by some of the older players. Mm-hmm. And another thing that really struck me is, you know, you both know the club well, and you know the people around the club.
Right.
And I come from environments that are probably, compared to Balestier, when you talk about the Australian teams, or you talk about
the Malaysia,
extremely well organized, and you know, you were talking about mental coaches in Australia. We had two around the team. And you look at the whole setup, it's much more professional. So I knew that it wasn't going to be at the same level. But what struck me the most is that the people around the club, and how they tirelessly work in the office to, you know, to do their job around the club, and whether it's the kit man, whether it's the general manager, whether it's the media lady, whether it's I thought it was a very warm environment, to be honest, and a real club.
Mm. I'm surprised you mentioned the senior players that were the ones that impressed you. Was it because coming in you thought they wouldn't be too good, or
no,
or what?
Look, I've been a senior player too, and I know I could be a pain in the ass sometimes for a coach, thinking I know it all, you know. And of course,
okay.
Of course, I need to play. So when based on the past or whatever. So when I watched the first game, I saw one or two players which I thought, okay, that might be a challenge. And to be honest, it was the opposite. Absolute opposite. Yeah.
You want to give a shout out to the players? Name them.
I gave them credit already, man. Slow down a bit. You got to know where to stop, eh?
Raz wants the information right now. It's like, yo, any players we're going to look at?
They've got a long preseason. So, you know, something for them to fly about.
Talking about this preseason, or is already done? The season is done. Peter, just wanted to know, what are your plans? I know we spoke briefly on your plans before this recorded session. You're telling me what's up next, you know, for the end of the year. But any plans? What are your plans in Singapore? Any plans in Singapore coming back? Or what, do you have anything in mind?
I might actually come back and coach Balestier next year.
Wow.
I hope so.
I hope so as well. It'll be pretty awesome.
No, I've been talking with the club last couple of days, and I think that that looks positive. So.
Okay, nice. Yeah, nice. hopefully you get some formal announcement soon. But judging by what you say, looks pretty good.
No.
That's great. That's
you know
great.
Me, Peter.
And then, okay, so looking at that, okay, that's Ballester season, you know, the players, you know, and everything. I just want to ask you something that is outside of Ballester Khalsa. So, which, I know you mentioned again earlier in the call, Tampines Rovers are a team that you really rate highly.
Yeah.
But which other teams or coaches or players that you saw in the league that, you know, impressed you, you know, in your time as the opposition coach? Like, you watch this player or team and you say, wow, this is something that you wanna take in or something like that.
Nah, when you know, the way I look, I see in any team, I see either players or coaches that I think you know, do a good job or should be admired. When you talk about the coaching and the local coaches, I'm impressed with Gavin at Tampines. I also think that my friend from Alberex does a very good job.
Yeah.
With the young guys. When you talk about players, you know, in every team, I've seen some talented players. I'm extremely how do you say that? Charmed or no, that's not the right word. I'm impressed with the holding midfielder from Tampines, the Japanese player.
Nakamura,
yes.
What a player, man.
Is something he should play in another league, to be honest. Obviously, LCS has a few talented players. I think against all odds, I think you have to take your head off for Maxime Lestien in a team where you sometimes saw players that you ask yourself the question, do they actually want to be here? He always worked his socks off.
Right.
And he delivered in times where some of the other players, I think, already were on a break.
Right.
I can analyze every team and see a lot of positive in terms of players and coaches. And it was a joy to actually be involved for the last 3 months.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, when you say Maxime Lestien, I think everybody thought that, yeah, he's a marquee signing of the season. You know, he just came for whatever, for a holiday or stuff like that. But that guy clearly didn't come for a holiday. He actually came.
No, and he was extremely driven till the last minute. He was on the pitch. And, you know, it's easy for a player with his experience to at some point say, you know what, maybe not today. With his background and experience, I think head off for his attitude.
Okay. So before I wrap up my questions, I'm just going to ask the two of you, Russ and Peter, and I will give my own take as well. Okay, overall, I know the player of the season and everybody, you know, that award was already given out. But I want to ask, in your opinion, maybe I start with Russ first. Who do you think, you know, is the player of the season for SPL, according to you?
I think it should have been undoubtedly me and Kel, we're very impressed by that Tampines player, the Japanese guy in Nakamura in the center midfield. I think he's really, really good. So he wasn't even mentioned. Yeah. I mean, for me, he has to be the most impressive player to me. But I mean, generally, normally this guy always goes to the champions. Yeah. So got to go for their striker. Who's the striker?
Kodai Tanaka.
Kodai Tanaka. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah.
And team of the season for you?
For me, I think Geylang. I think the way they bounce back, I thought they did really well to bounce back and finish where they finished in the league. Of course, you know, Albirex did a fantastic job to win the league. So they deserve a lot of credit for that. But outside of Albirex, then yeah, I would say Geylang, and shout out to Haugang as well, our hood. for winning the cup.
A hood.
Yeah.
That's good. Peter, what about you? Your player of the season?
Well, we had to vote as head coaches, and if I'm not mistaken, voted for Maxime Lestienne, and okay. Based on his goals and his assists as well. I think more than 23, 24
right. assists.
And also in a team that was more or less running in a brick wall at the time. But it could have been easily Tanaka as well. I mean, it's amazing how many goals he scored. And
amazing,
I would say Lestienne, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. You're seeing Albrecht play without Tanaka, and they did seem a bit lost up front. I'll just be very honest here. You know, with Tanaka and his movements, you know, off when he plays with Ilhan, and he just moves off Ilhan really, really intelligently. And then when he's not there, you can see Albrecht struggle a little. So he's clearly been their star man this season.
Yeah, but to be honest, if we do mention names, I have a lot of respect for the young fellow Ilhan Fandi as well. I think he's an extremely talented player and a humble person. I think he's going to go long. He's going to go places.
Interesting. And for you, the team that impressed you the most? I mean, your team of the season.
I would say because they won the league, but at the same time, I keep on wondering how did Tampines not get closer to those two with the way they played, because and they have definitely impressed me. At the same time, I've seen them struggling live against Haugang, where they couldn't even get out of their own half.
Yeah.
So I would say, all in all, the most consistent performers were Albirex.
For sure.
For me, my player of the season, Nakamura. Of course, I think for me, every time I watch him play, that guy.
We
wish we had him in Balestier.
Yeah, I was like, you know,
sign him up.
Russ, I was telling Russ, like, why don't we just get someone like him? You know, it solved the problem, right?
I asked the club to sign him, but I'm not sure where that is at the moment.
They probably need to trim. In order to sign him, he will request to Topayos Stadium to be trimmed up nicely. You know, not the big. he won't be able to play the game. And my team is, of course, my hood, Haugang. You know, what a journey. You know, I think it's their first ever trophy in their history. And I've watched them since they were way back. They were Marine Castle, you know, Sengkang Marine. Then they went to different names and different names. And then finally they won their first trophy. So big shout out to them. So that's what I got, Russ.
Yep. So, right, we're rounding up the show now. Calling to the end, Pekbas ex Balestier Khalsa for this season. Peter, thanks a lot for sharing your thoughts and views as usual.
Welcome. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah.
Can I have one more before we end? Just one more.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite Balestier Khalsa goal? Do you remember? Like, which do you think is the most standout Balestier Khalsa goal? Maybe Peter.
Well, I saw some I think the one with a left foot against LCS from Roya.
Oh,
I mean that was quality, right?
Yeah, that was quality, Russ.
I can't really remember too many goals, to be honest.
Do you remember the jumbo one where he unleashed a long range
was
effort? Who was he against? I forgot.
Was it Haugang? In at Topayos Stadium,
but I know he did like a long range shot out of nowhere and then he went in. So, like, I forgot, but Jumbo got that goal.
I think that game, that for me, if you talk about a game of the season, probably that 6-1 against Haugang at Topayos Stadium was fantastic.
That was the man of the match, was Madhu, right? Because, throwing skills,
he throws, but that was a fantastic game to be part of. I mean, not part of. Well, I wasn't even there, but yeah, you know, for me, that's my favorite game of the season. The last one as well, it is Albirex. I think the way the fighting spirit of the team, never say die attitude, kept going. I think that was also very, very good.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate about the results, but yeah, very,
Peter,
very
could
good.
Could you hear us shouting from the top? We were shouting right above you.
Yeah, I heard two people losing it in the stand. That were you two. That was
no,
you.
No. Oh, we were wondering the same.
It's your wife as well. She was also shouting.
Yeah, big shout out to your wife and kid. I think they really supported Balestier Khalsa.
Yeah, correct.
And you see the real passion.
They were really invested. Yeah, they were really invested in all the games.
Really good to have them, on the stand with us.
And Peter, I think a last word probably for the fans, especially those that turned up at Jalan Besar Stadium to watch the third and fourth. We really got an atmosphere from the Balestier fans that day.
Yeah, look, in the end, and I don't mean this as a cliche, but I think as a club and as players, you play football actually for them. So there is no better feeling than having your supporters leaving the stadium, feeling proud that they are part of this club and that they can be proud of the players. So. And vice versa, players obviously really love and like to see that they are appreciated, that their efforts are being appreciated. So yeah, I definitely want to thank all the people that have come out in the last couple of weeks, and hopefully on to bigger and better.
Yep, for sure. So, all right, this is me, Russ, signing up. But before I sign out, a big shout out to Amir Hakim for passing the ball to us on the touchline.
And also, thank you to Peter. Thank you for allowing us to have you on the show as our last guest for this season. Thank you to the Balestier Khalsa's management team, Darwin, Balestier chairman, the whole Balestier team, Timney.
Sarah, Darwin, big ups, Darwin,
the players for joining us.
Players, all the players, especially for joining us in the show, speaking candidly, as candid as possible. Well,
the fans, the coaches, interacting with us on
in the stadium. Did you have Daniel in the show?
Yeah, he was one of the most popular shows because everyone was.
How long did it last?
Few messages.
Just an hour?
About an hour? About just an hour.
Okay. He was clearly quite famous because everyone joined in.
Yeah, because his friends joined in and then his teammates joined in as well. So everyone's bombarding him with questions.
Okay.
Yeah. So big shout out even to the esports team, the women's team, under 17 team, under 21 team, all of you guys, gave us your time to speak to us. And thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for support. New friendships form as well this season with all the players and all the staff. And looking forward to next season. Hopefully, we get to meet up again. And I get to see Peter again in person coaching Balestier Khalsa next season. I really hope that becomes reality. And hey, Peter, enjoy the World Cup. Hopefully, your country does well. I'm supporting them this time. In the absence of my favorite team, but
okay, Russ, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Let's end this now.
he wants to end by talking about Italy again. Eh?
Yeah, I know. That's why I say let's just end it now.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys.
Peace out.
Thank you.
Welcome.